Praise be Jesus Christ,
now and forever.
So, let's talk about the end of the world. The scriptures today point us in that direction. It's a theme that we find, and I'd like to especially locate it as we find it in the New Testament. The New Testament authors across the board speak about this coming day, the day of the Lord. It'll be an event that'll be marked by cataclysms and destruction. It'll be a day that also marks a new beginning. The kingdom of God will become manifest, especially through this great event, this day of the Lord that will happen. We find this throughout the New Testament, very consistently. We find Jesus talking about it, all of the evangelists in their different ways. All of the evangelists deal with this question of this coming day. We heard about it in our bit in our gospel today, although we're going to get into that in just a minute. We also hear about it in St. Paul and his writings. And we hear about it especially in the book of Revelation. Throughout all of these, we see although the details are different, there's a consistent message, at least. This day is coming. And this will mark the end and also the beginning. But there's a little bit of a twist here. See, if you actually read through the New Testament, you're going to find that not only does Jesus and the authors of the New Testament speak about this imminent coming of the day of the Lord, but they also say it's coming soon. Speaking to the people of the first century, so almost 20 centuries ago, very consistently, we see Paul, Jesus, John of Patmos, all saying, this day is coming soon. How soon? Well, at one point, Jesus looks around and says, there are people who are alive today who will not die before they see this event happen. So Jesus puts the timeline on this and says, it's within a generation this will happen. Now, that's a little bit of a trouble, isn't it? Because that didn't happen. And it's been 20 centuries, which is stretching any reasonable interpretation of the word soon. So what might we do with this? How could we understand this event, this cataclysmic transformation that's going to happen? Again, all of the New Testament talks about it. How do we make sense of this? It's happening soon, Jesus says. Let me give you a couple ways that people have tried to understand the meaning of these texts. First one that I would share with you is one that has become known as sort of the dispensational theory. It's one that has become popular in the writings of, say, the Left Behind series, if you've ever heard of this. Which, by the way, guys, this is a very popular series. Last time I did research on this, the only other sort of like long book series that had sold more copies was Harry Potter. So to put this in perspective, Harry Potter, number 2, Left Behind. So very popular. Lots of people are reading this. And there's the basic theory behind this is that there's been a series of ages, dispensations. And in this series of ages, we now, in the late 20th, early 21st century, are in the last seventh dispensation. And so therefore, all of those prophecies that said, well, the end of the world is coming soon, those didn't apply to the people of Jesus' time. They applied to the people who would be living in the final dispensation. So us. All of those things that said, well, it's going to happen soon. Well, that didn't actually apply to the people that were listening to it. They were saying, it's going to happen soon when it comes to the right age for them to happen soon. It's a kind of complicated theory, but the idea is that there's these ages of history, and they've finally led up to the point where now all of these prophecies trigger. And now, very soon, all of these things are going to happen. I've read through some of the interpretation of this, and it is a highly complex and detailed and intricate theory. I also find it highly suspect. I do not like the way that they do scripture reading at all, and I find their history even worse. So I find this very suspect as a theory, but it's very much out there. And there are lots of people who are very clear about saying, well, they'll say, well, yeah, we're living in the end times. That's what this is. And therefore, all of these things that we find, they say they're going to happen soon, that were from 20 centuries ago, now apply. Okay, so that's one way that people have tried to make sense of this problem. There's another popular way of trying to make these things fit together. The end is coming, it's coming soon, but it didn't come. And that is to just come to the conclusion that, well, the New Testament was wrong. The Bible is just incorrect. And that the Bible has these sort of errors in it. And many people have come to this conclusion. Not an insubstantial number of people have come to this conclusion. Well, look, it's obviously wrong. It didn't happen. So therefore, the Bible was wrong. So therefore, what's the next step that you have to take? The Bible's not trustworthy. Many people have found their faith in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, very deeply eroded. And maybe they come to the conclusion that, well, the Bible's kind of a nice book. Maybe you can find some inspirational passages out of it. But they don't find it convicting in any meaningful way because they say, well, look, there's errors. And this is one of them that's no small issue. Now, of course, I don't believe this, but I think we need to take this seriously and contend with the fact that this is a real problem. It needs to have an answer. There's another way that has sometimes been read as a way of reading these injunctions that this is an event that's going to happen soon. And some people have read this, trying to be more faithful to the Bible. They'll say, well, the end of the world will happen, so the Bible is true. It's authentic in its teaching about this. But we don't know exactly when God is going to do it. And all of these stories and injunctions and sayings about, well, the time is coming soon, they're not meant to give us a timeline. They're just meant to be a reminder for us that the end of our days may come any soon, any day. None of us know how long we're going to live. Nobody knows how many days we're going to have left. So all of these injunctions about the end is coming soon could be simply read as a sort of a moral reminder. Treat every day as if it's your last. Don't wait to repent before the Lord. And as far as that goes, that's true. It is a reminder, and it could be a very salutary reminder to have a memento mori in front of you. However, it's a really unsatisfying answer to the question. It kind of has nothing to do with the question at hand. Or to put it another way, if what you're saying is that there's this long, convoluted, complex way that the Bible is telling me that I'm going to die someday, well, I didn't need a long, convoluted piece of divine revelation to tell me that. I already knew that. We all know that. So it doesn't give any sort of satisfying answer to the question at hand. So how might we come to a conclusion about this? Let me offer one more reading, one that has often been overlooked, but is right there in the New Testament. And in fact, we read it just a few minutes ago. The gospel that we read today. Remember the beginning of the scene? It says Jesus is there with his disciples, and they're standing in front of the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus, there with his disciples, they're gawking because it's this amazing, beautiful temple, right? There in Jerusalem. But Jesus gives the prediction, and he says, the day is coming soon when this beautiful temple will be destroyed, and not a single stone will be left upon another. For those who read carefully and wisely the New Testament, they can begin to see that this event that's going to happen, this day of the Lord, this end that is coming, and coming soon, is actually not pointing towards the end of the world, as the Left Behind series or something like that might try to picture it, but the end of an age because of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. In the year 70 AD, Roman general Titus brought his imperial army to come and attack, sack, destroy the city of Jerusalem, and with it, the temple. So within almost exactly 40 years, a biblical generation, the temple is destroyed. Jesus' words came true. Now, you might be thinking to yourself already, well, how can you equate the destruction of a building, a simple temple, to the end of the world, right? Where's the cataclysms? Where's the earthquakes? Where's the earthquakes? Where's the floods? Where's the signs in the sky? Where's the great beasts and the dragons rising up from the depths? Where's all the apocalyptic imagery that we know about at the end of the world? Well, a couple things to keep in mind about this. First of all, it wasn't just the destruction of the temple, it was the destruction of the whole city and, in a sense, the whole cultural, social, historical reality that that represented. It was the death of an entire kingdom, an entire way of life. And that throughout the Bible, this is often described. The destruction of a kingdom, an empire, a city, is often described in terms of great natural disasters, about the destruction of a place is described as, you know, being destroyed in a flood or from, you know, signs in the sky and these kind of natural cataclysmic things. Or even that they're described sometimes as great beasts or monsters that are destroyed. And we might think that's weird or find that hard to grasp onto, the idea that they would describe the end of a kingdom in these sort of natural disaster terms. But, you know, first of all, it's there. You can find it. It's well documented within the Bible. Take a look at Daniel or other places from the Old Testament. They use the same kind of language. But second of all, you know, we use that same kind of language and we never think about it at all. I mean, how often do we describe that someone will have won an election and they'll say, well, he won by a landslide, right? Or some political shakeup will happen, and they say, oh, there's been a political earthquake that's happened. And we wouldn't think twice of it. So sort of language is there. But second of all, we have to remember, the temple was not merely a building. The temple, as God's people understood it, that was the place where God and humanity came together. It was the place where God and humanity came together. This is where all the critical worship, and prayer, and festivals happen. Losing the temple, the destruction of the temple, and God allowing for the temple to be destroyed was to say that God's connection with the world and everything that that means is broken. And it's hard for us to try to imagine how catastrophic this must have been for those who understood the temple in this way, right? I tried to think of an analogy, and the only thing I could come up with is, imagine if one day, all of a sudden, the internet was gone. How would we describe that?
The end of the world.
Right? Our very means by which we can be able to understand and communicate and connect with the world around us, like, that's something like what it was like to lose the temple. So when the New Testament authors speak about this, and they say that this is the great cataclysm that's happening, they're really not being overly dramatic. I mean, it's very symbolic language, but not overly dramatic. But that makes sense of it. This event, this day, it's coming, and it's coming soon, Jesus says. And for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, they can understand what it is that he's talking about. Okay, one final point that I want to finish on here. And that is that we spoke about how this event that would happen is two things. It was a destruction, an end, the end of an era. But it was also not merely an end, but also a beginning. The foundation of God's new kingdom. And here, I would point to this last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation and Apocalypse. We always talk about it as if it's the story of the end of the world. Except the more that I've read it, no, I've become convinced that that's not what the point of it is. The point of it is, it's picking up exactly where we would see this destruction of the end of an age. But then it's also revealing the new kingdom that will come. Jesus enthroned at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus now as the new temple, the new place where God and humanity can come together. And it's not limited to this one place in this one city, but it's wherever Jesus is alive and present among his church. That has become the new locus, the new temple. A new place where this all comes together. And the book of Revelation explains to us in really wild and vivid and highly symbolic imagery the reality of Jesus Christ, who not someday will be king, but now is king over the world. And how the monsters and the evil powers of the world will rage against God and against his anointed. But that ultimately, Christ will have a victory. And his saints and his martyrs, through their witness and through their blood, will overcome the world. That is the vision we see in these apocalyptic texts of the New Testament. So, brothers and sisters, we're coming to the end of our liturgical year. Next week is going to be the Feast of Christ the King. We could think about it in terms of the end, and certainly, the scriptures do tell us about this end of an era that happened there. But I think the more important thing is it points us towards this reality of Jesus Christ, who is the new temple, and Jesus Christ, who is now enthroned as King of the world.